Hello and welcome to IT Time, TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, Senior IT Pro Evangelist with Microsoft, and we're talking about Microsoft Public Cloud Services, setting up your business in the cloud. And I have two of my good friends, peers, colleagues, working as Senior Tech Evangelist with Microsoft, Tommy Patterson. How you doing, bud?
Doing great, Blaine. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And so Tommy's out of Atlanta, and we got Dan Stoltz out of Boston. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, Blaine. Great, thanks. Hi, Tommy. Nice to see you again.
Hey, Dan.
So what I want to do is just, you know, if you could just quickly introduce yourself, Tommy, and then we'll go to Dan, and then we'll kick this thing off.
Sure. So, you know, just really quickly, I watched Blaine start the book, and he asked if I could help with one of the chapters, and I thought, you know, the one that hits me the most is how it affects small business when it comes to replacing all the junk in the closet, with the servers and all the leftover keyboards and all the mess that I see at small businesses. And so that was the chapter I wanted to help write. And so my background goes kind of toward that. I did consulting for a number of years around virtualization and servers. But I think, you know, my dad has a small business, and then my uncles have small businesses, and in helping them, I feel like I've stayed in touch with what that's like. And so I really hope you enjoyed this chapter in the book.
Thanks, bud. Thanks a lot for your contributions. And also Dan helped with the chapter as well. Dan, thank you so much for your time and your knowledge and expertise around the chapter.
Sure. Great.
We got Young Cho too. He couldn't join us today, but those three individuals, myself, those guys were really the power behind this episode. And so let's get started. What I wanted to do was talk a little bit about the holistic approach here. So when we take a holistic approach, really bringing it all together with the business owner or the startup or, you know, small, medium businesses, having a console to all these public cloud services with Microsoft Azure and Office 365, Microsoft Intune, CRM Online, and feeding these applications to devices that eventually are consumed by the end user. So what we're going to talk about, gentlemen, is the Microsoft Azure part. So let's go right into that. So this is episode 6, which is building and running servers without the hardware. That's kind of interesting because you do need hardware to run servers. The point here was that, you know, we're gonna rent space. We're going to put it on someone else's hardware. We're going to take the manageability of all the components that are on an on-premises environment and move that to the vendor, in this case, Microsoft Azure. And, you know, kicking it off here in the overview is really no hardware needed on-premises. Really comes down to saving costs and having somebody, manage that infrastructure.
That's right. I mean, you think about the number of times where you hit by lightning, or your UPSs go out, your battery starts beeping in the middle of the day, and now you've got to go, you know, what's wrong with my server in the closet? My computers are not able to connect, their DHCP's gone, so I'm not getting IP addresses. And for a lot of business owners, they don't even know what half of that just meant, right? So they're starting from square one, they're calling an IT guy they know to come in and work on things. So by taking that component out of the mix, where we don't need that server in the closet anymore, we put it into the cloud, you're going to save costs, not only in the hardware, but paying people to come look at stuff for you, maintenance and, you know, upgrades down through the years where you got to have faster hardware, right? So, you know, all that's covered when you throw your services on Microsoft Azure.
Yeah, not only, I think about old school, right? And I think about the days that, you know, the pager going off and getting called down, you know, to go and replace a hard drive, or even starting your own small business and getting going with technology back in the day. Is I had to have a small business server with Exchange and SQL Server running on top of that. That's a lot of IT skills just to get up and running, right? So if we can put things like SharePoint Online, Exchange Online, or Azure, you know, using Azure for SQL Server, both as a platform as a service or infrastructure as a service, those are really, really, you know, cost savings there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, guys, whenever small businesses or startup businesses, you know, really regardless of size, whenever they're able to switch from a capital expenditure to a an operational expenditure to rent the compute, the storage, and the networking, or and other resources that they need, that's a big burden off a lot of businesses that just they don't have the capital, and they're kind of getting by. And a big thing about this is they don't have the technical expertise, and by leveraging cloud services, they basically don't have to become experts in technology and everything else. They can spend time focusing on their business.
That's right. Absolutely. And when we talk about virtual machines and deploying virtual machines or using, as you mentioned, infrastructure as a service within Microsoft Azure, a lot of people think that it's just Microsoft. And of course, that's just not true, right? I mean, there's the open source in there, the CentOS, the SUSE. There's the, like I mentioned, the Linux distros, and there's lots of things you can do. If you want to run Oracle, you can run Oracle on Linux and run that in Microsoft Azure. So, there's also not just Microsoft, but the openness of the open source community as well getting added into there, right?
Absolutely. So we're talking about virtual machines. We're talking about infrastructure. The most important piece of that underlying all of that is storage. Right. So if you have storage for your data, storage for your files, they could be music files, video, documents, PowerPoints, spreadsheets, all types of business, QuickBooks files, all these different file types come into play, and they need to be on stable storage that's resilient, that can fail over. And you just don't get that on-prem. You don't get that with the server in the back room. It's just something that was very difficult to mimic for a small, medium business. So when you have those storage accounts, you have those in Azure, the storage accounts actually hold all of your data, be it virtual machine hard drives or simple file data. The thing about it is you need to understand when you name those storage accounts that you name them friendly. And what does that mean? That means when you start off and you start creating your storage accounts, I highlight this in the book, but you really need to think about a good name so you understand what that storage account represents as far as a data perspective goes. Are they video files? Are they picture files? Are they going to be a whole collaboration of files, like all kinds of different files, like a file server on-prem? Name the storage account appropriately so you understand what's on there. Otherwise, Azure will name it for you with randomness, and you'll find out, down the road, you don't understand what those storage counts represent. So, just a good safety tip.
How about renaming them?
What's that?
Renaming those, or how about if you're into PowerShell, now you're calling server the storage account name, server storage account name, what have you, in your PowerShell script. Now you've got, that long archaic PYX11, whatever that name is. And now you're starting to, like you said, Tommy, you're not even knowing where to go from there, right?
So, right.
And as the business gets larger and you end up needing additional storage accounts, it's really hard to keep them separated if you don't have a friendly name. So, I know in my account, I have like 8 storage accounts at this point. And the first couple, start with some numbers and letters that mean nothing to me. After that, that's when I realized that, hey, I need to be smarter about naming these. So good tip. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tommy.
Yes. Right. So Dan, you had a lot of contributions to the book around the templates and the gallery. And that, I think that's goodness. You want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So the Azure portal gives us a capability of having templates. Now we can create our own templates based on images that we want to predefine, and our own our own images. But if you don't want to go through the work of setting up your own, there's a very large gallery of all kinds of different images, whether it's Windows Server, it's SQL Server, it's SharePoint, Linux, just about any flavor that you would want, different versions. You got Oracle, BizTalk, any number of different types of images, and those are pretty much the ones that are supplied by Microsoft. There's also a lot of third parties that are putting out templates in the gallery, so you could literally deploy an 8-node cluster by simply picking a template out of the gallery, and all the stuff that makes that cluster work. So some pretty impressive stuff going into the templates, and then you simply create the machine or machines based on that template that's up there in the gallery.
Right, and that's excellent too. Even for the open source community, there's the VM Depot. that has not only deployment scripts on that site, but they have the actual source from the community for those images that are available as well. So yeah, I mean, what does Azure look like? Well, I think we should just take a look.
All right, so I'm in Microsoft Azure here, and what I'm showing is all of the items that I've created in Azure, but what we're going to focus on are virtual machines in Azure. But before we do that, I talked about storage accounts and friendly names, so let's go ahead and talk about that briefly. You'll see that I've got a bunch of storage accounts, and we'll take the one that I've actually created for the MBA. As you can see here, what I've done is I've made naming conventions. It starts with my initials, so BB, Blaine Barton, MBA, storage account 01. I've created that where I'm going to store my virtual machines that I'm creating today for the MBA, or the virtual machine that I did create is stored in that storage account. So if you look at this, I've got various things built out in Azure. We've got a content delivery network. I built a content delivery network. And there's the storage account in which I'm going to store those files, those MP4s that I'm putting on my endpoint on my content delivery network. So it's BB, CDN for content delivery network, SA for storage account 01. If I've got more than one CDN, then the storage account would be storage account SA 02 and so on. The next one is BB Linux EB, so that's my Ubuntu Linux servers are in that storage account 01. I have actually two storage accounts for Linux. Media Services 01, so I keep my media services in there. The VHD Azure SA 01 is the storage account I use to upload my own VHDs into Azure, so that's the storage account I use for that. I've also got some Windows 10 stuff running, so I've got the technical preview for server and client. So I store those in the storage account 01, and then I'm working on a mission critical application. It's a beer trivia game called Brew IQ. So that's kind of for me to learn about the different technologies. So I have some virtual machines running here. So let's show you what you can do in the virtual machines. One thing I did want to point out is you have this little drop down menu here where you can get all of the different features of Azure and the pricing and the documentation. Which we can go back to, and all of these things that are on this list here, from web apps to virtual machines to mobile services, all the way down. There's quite a bit here we can do and learn. Right, I'm constantly learning about all the different technologies with inside of Microsoft Azure. But let's go down here to the new button. If you click on new, there's a couple ways that we can go create virtual machines. You go to compute. So if that's under the compute area, virtual machines, and we have this thing called Quick Create. Quick Create allows me to build a virtual machine by simply putting in a name. It's going to check DNS and the cloudapp.net service, check and see if that's available, which it is. Then we have the images here. We can pick from all the different images that are available in the gallery, and we can select one there. And then, wow, we've got some pretty big VM sizes, right? So we look at the smaller basic ones up on top here. Those are kind of a smaller footprint of the hardware that runs the virtual machine. It also doesn't do things like load balancing and get some fault tolerance on the A series, D series, and G series, which run the D and G run on the SSD solid state drives, so much faster. And then we do have the biggest VM available in the market. It's the G5 32 core, 448 gigs of memory. So be careful what you ask for there. Username, you put the username and passwords in here. Pick the region. We're in US West or the West US now, and then you can pick your subscription. Or we can go right into the gallery and choose our image. So you can see here, when I often talk to folks, they think that Microsoft Azure is all Microsoft, and that's simply not true. When we look in here, we see, of course, Windows Server and SharePoint and SQL Server and BizToxer and Visual Studio, which is really cool. We have the Visual Studio with different tools configured in different versions of the Visual Studio versions here. Dynamics, so we get the Dynamics as well. And then we have Ubuntu, CoreOS, and CentOS, and SUSE. So we have all the open source. And once again, there's the Oracle I was talking about earlier. So if you know, want to come down and build an Oracle, you know, Oracle database running on Linux, you can do that, right? And then for provisioning and doing distribution of deployment of your Linux distributions, you can use Puppet. So there's lots to choose from here in the gallery. We're going to go ahead and pick this here, this Windows Server Essentials experience. This is neat. I'm going to show you a wizard in there in the Essentials server product that will help you easily configure things in this virtual machine that's residing in Microsoft Azure. So we'll go ahead and we'll select that, create a virtual machine. You've got your basic and standard. So I talked a little bit about that. Your basic doesn't give you the full load balancing and things you need, where standard can give you a higher level of support for things like, you know, replication and backup and that type of thing. So let's put in my password here. And we'll go ahead and click on next here. And here we can go ahead and we'll just go ahead and create a new cloud service. It's gonna take the name that I picked for that virtual machine. I have a series of subscriptions, so I'll go ahead and I'm gonna pick my MSDN subscription. And by the way, if you have an MSDN subscription and you're not using Azure, what a great time to activate your Azure subscription. I'll go ahead and pick East US. And then here's where I would go. And once again, here's my automatically generated storage account, which would be this very long, archaic, automatically generated name. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put this in the MVA storage account. This is where I can create the availability set for this virtual machine. And then we have two specific endpoints that are created. One is so I can actually see the server once I've created it. That's awesome with the remote desktop. And then PowerShell. You know, as IT professionals, we carry around toolboxes with lots of different types of tools that we use. Here is we install the VM agent, gives us other capabilities with inside that virtual machine. But more importantly, we can do really cool things like configuration extensions. So let's say I create a virtual machine, but I want to tack on a custom script after that to perhaps make it a domain controller, right? Domain controller is like the king poompah of the server family, right? So the domain controller is or the DCs are the ones that kind of lead the domain. So if I want to custom script that out, I can go ahead and click on a custom script and add my custom script in here and any arguments I want or switches that I want in there. And then I can also add some security extensions to the Microsoft anti-malware, the Symantec endpoint protection, or Trend Micro deep security agent. So there are some things we can do there. Then I can go ahead and click, you know, I would go ahead and provision that, but that's going to take several minutes to provision. So what I would thought I would do is just go over to my virtual machine. So here we're looking at the virtual machine that I've booted up. This is the Essentials server that I built. It's got BG info, so you can get all the information about the server, and that's added in by that agent, the VM agent that we click the checkbox, add that in. So it gives you all the stats about what's on the server. But what I really think is cool about Essential Servers is this. Yes, a wizard. Wizards can be friend and foe, right? I mean, we kind of started the wizards with, I think if I think back, it was like millennium, I think, when I was thinking about the first kind of wizardry, right? If everything was through a wizard. And with Windows Server 2012 R2, it's kind of nice. A lot of stuff just wizards now. We click, 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 done. And they actually work quite well. You know, things like VDI, where it was like, you know, you back in the day when you're trying to configure virtual desktop infrastructure and have these desktops present themselves, you know, setting that all up was a big task. And now, you know, you can go and just set things up. We'll take a look at that in Server Manager where that comes up. But check this out. When you go through the setup, you know, inside here, you get your updates to the Microsoft products, you add your user accounts in here, you can build some server folders and add those in there, set up your backup for your server, give access to your users into this server, connect to different computers. And what's nice about this in the Essentials dashboard is when I go to services, now the holistic view of bringing all of these things together, right? So if I want to integrate, and maybe I don't want a server in Azure, and I might not have a use for it, but maybe I want to manage my Office 365 or my Microsoft Intune or my Azure Backup or integrate that with Azure Active Directory. Check this out. This is where we can click on all those things and enable those, right? So I just want to show you that not only you can create a virtual machine in Azure, but I also wanted to point out the fact that I used Essentials because that's really, I think, a great virtual machine for small and medium businesses to build things out and to hook in your other, you know, tenants, Office 365, Intune, and integrate everything together.
Great. Thanks, Blaine. That was some pretty awesome stuff and awesome capabilities and super, super easy to do stuff in Azure. You know, one of the things that we definitely wanted to do, and as part of the book, gives you plenty of resources. So let me go ahead and share a few of them here as well. The Azure IaaS for IT Pros, aka.ms/go-mva/Azure IT Pros is a shortcut link to Azure for IT Pros on Microsoft Virtual Academy. Now, Microsoft Virtual Academy is an online university, you know, sponsored and put up and supported by Microsoft that gives you an enormous amount of content by which to learn from, and you can, you know, add different sessions or different topics to your learning plan, and then just diligently work toward certification or work just toward just learning about the different technologies. There's a lot of stuff out there on Azure, as is indicated by this link, but there's also other content out there too. So even after you finish your Azure lessons and lesson plans, you should look around for some other topics that might be of interest. And then we have virtual machine sizing. You know, when it comes to virtual machine sizing and pricing and understanding, you know, what the cost is going to be. So we gave you a link here so you can kind of look at the different sizes, what kind of disks come with them, what kind of RAM comes with them, the number of CPU cores, and then a cost associated with that. So you can see in advance and you can calculate whether you're doing the A series or the D series machines. And then, you know, there's some additional information on service level agreements and you know, if you have different types of requirements for number of IP addresses and stuff like that. So there's some really good information there. And you know, one of the things that we really have to highlight is whenever you create a new virtual machine in Azure, you do have to give it an administrative username and password. And it does require secure passwords. So we have a link here that kind of explains about creating strong passwords. You know, it will actually have, it even has a little kind of a calculator generator in there to show how strong your password is. So you can type in a password and it'll tell you what it perceives to be the strength of that password. And then some common pitfalls about passwords, what to do, what not to do when creating your password. So I strongly recommend that everybody read these articles and in particular the strong passwords. You maybe should start there even before you create your first virtual machine. And go ahead and make sure that whenever you're doing your Azure and setting up your virtual machines that you're doing it in a secure way.
Excellent. You guys are contributors to the book. It says, yeah, Blaine Martin on the cover, but really without you guys and contributing specifically to the IaaS section of the book, I really appreciate it. You can get more information on ak.ms/Blaine's book. You can send me an email. But more importantly, we have the Microsoft Virtual Academy is all up there now, saving your business in the cloud. ak.ms/public-cloud-mba. So thanks, guys, for making this dream really come true. I also want to thank BizSpark. You know, BizSpark's our sponsor for the book. They are pretty involved in, you know, providing the entrepreneurs and startups with free software and benefits to get their business off the ground and running. So you've got, you know, software support. If you've been in business less than 5 years, you're making under $1 million a year. You're not trading publicly on NASDAQ or you know, trading at all. Then you qualify as long as you're building really cool stuff using Microsoft development tools, or combination of what we have available in Azure. Then you get 3 years access to current full featured software. You get $150 of monthly Microsoft Azure benefits. You get 4 free MSDN support incidences, a lot of access to our BizSpark network partners, and more importantly, you get connected to the ecosystem for startups, right? access to advisors and mentors and investors. So not only do you get the software and the support, but you get the visibility as well. So you want more information about BizSpark, you can go to aka.ms/go-BizSpark or send me an email. So that wraps up that episode. Thank you once again, Dan, for being on the show here. And Tommy, thank you guys. Really, thanks for your support. Also, a little shout out to Young, you know, the three amigos. I appreciate you guys, you know, contributing back to me. That's means a lot to me. And with that, any final comments?
No, it's just been a pleasure working on the book. And I think, you know, it's going to help out a lot of folks trying to get started. And that BizSpark, that $150 goes a long way. So for those startups out there looking at, you know, what to do, give BizSpark a chance. It's free, no strings attached, use of everything we have. So good stuff.
Yeah, I think what I'll add, Blaine, is, you know, thanks to you for, you know, bringing us this opportunity and allowing us to help you, you know, put all this together. And for our customers, for the people that are actually using the book, using the material, using the videos, I would say this, you know, the book and the content is designed for anybody. You don't have to be an IT professional. You don't have to be somebody that's been working in the industry for 30 years to figure this stuff out. It's super simple to just jump in, even if you're, you know, a finance guy, and you can walk through the process and create this. Now, for those that are IT professionals, they'll get a lot more out of it because they can go a lot deeper on, you know, on some of the topics and kind of click around and figure out what things do. So they'll get more out of it. And for those that are, you know, more on the technology side, I would also encourage them continue their education and continue learning about cloud. And, you know, maybe even go after, you know, certifications. There's lots of different certification options. And lastly, regardless of, you know, who's listening to this, I would hope that as you think about the cloud and as you think about Azure, that you're not thinking about it as necessarily just, you know, a means to an end, but rather looking at cloud as an opportunity to turn business problems into solutions, because that's really what the cloud provides us. And if we just think about, if we think about it only in terms of what we need to do or the tasks that we want to perform, and that's it, then we're kind of missing the boat on the capabilities. And by adding to our business and thinking about our business problems or thinking about our business challenges or thinking about what our businesses could benefit from and then translate that back to, okay, how can I make some pretty magical things happen with the cloud? And that's really the power of Azure.
Absolutely. So once again, you know, thanks a bunch. And with that, Tommy Patterson out of Atlanta, senior tech evangelist, and Dan Stoltz out of Boston, senior tech event. We're all in it together. So appreciate all your effort. And with that, it's a wrap.